Good morning, Berry Free Methodist. How are you? It is good to be back with you again this morning. For those of you who don't know me or if you're visiting Berry Free Methodist, I am not the regular pastor. My name is Steve Bradley. I'm from Life 100.3. I was a youth pastor for 11 years, so I'm going to help fill in on this youth emphasis service. And Pastor Jen will be back, I believe, next week. She's on holidays, but she will be back next week. So thank you for trusting me with this. Hopefully I do well. And this morning, that was a good laugh. This morning it is a youth emphasis service. So my sermon is going to have a very youthy feel. It's not for the adults in the room. It's for the students in the room. But guess what? The adults can still get something from this. You're going to glean something from this. You're going to get something from it. But I really want to focus in on the students. So it may be a little bit shorter in length. So if I go to a youth retreat, I always, you know what, every youth pastor, when they go off to a youth retreat, I don't know if you know this, but every youth pastor has a mega hot wife. If you hear them introduce, I want you guys to introduce you to my mega hot wife, Jenny Bradley. There she is. Now remember this, is a youth service, and my wife and my family is here with me this morning. So I want to thank you guys for coming, because usually when I go off speaking, they don't come with me. So I was really excited that they joined me. I also want to show you my youth group, my former youth group. This is my last youth group in Ajax. I was a youth pastor for 11 years. I spent time in 6 years in Ajax. I spent 5 years in Aurelia as a youth pastor, and I spent 1 year in Bradford. So I love students. I love hanging with you know what I love about students? I love the dreams that they have. You know, when we get older, things get a little bit tougher with God, don't they? We're less likely to take chances. What I love about being with students is they've got nothing holding them back. And when they catch what God has for them, look out, they run. And oftentimes, as a youth pastor, I watch students run past their parents in their faith. And parents had a hard time keeping up with their students. So one of the reasons I love being a youth pastor so long was because they just went. As soon as they caught it, they went, and nothing stopped them. Let's see what the next slide is. Something I do at every youth service. Now, you can take a look at the fact of the day. Whenever I did a youth retreat, I would have parents come back. They would ask their students, what did you learn this weekend? And students would say, nothing at all. So this is what I did. I said to the students, if you're not going to get anything from my sermons whatsoever, at least take down the fact of the day and tell your parents something interesting. So that way, at least it's fun. So here is your fact of the day, students. The longest beard ever recorded on a woman was 14 inches long. That is your fact of the day. And at least when you go home and your parents say, what did you learn at church today? That is the weirdest thing they are going to hear, right? Absolutely. So this morning, I want to talk to you, students and adults, parents, grandparents, about being rooted. Rooted in who God says we are, not rooted in who the world says we are. How many of you have a best friend? Some of you students over there, you guys got best friend. I got a best friend. I had a best friend. Adults in this room, did you guys have like a best buddy? A best bud in public school? Best bud in high school? Somebody who got you in trouble? Maybe your best friend looked like this. Anybody? There's silence in it. You guys don't know who this is. Yeah, Sam and Kat. There you go, girl. Absolutely. Maybe your best friend looked like that. My best friend, we look like this. Only he was Dora, I was Boots. And so my best friend, his name was Gino, and we met in grade 8, and he got me in all sorts of trouble all the time. And I don't know about you guys what your best friend was like, but we hung out. We did everything together. We grew in God together. We did everything together. We got in trouble together. And we also graduated grade 12 together at Berry Central. And one of the things that I remember, I don't know if you guys remember when, if you had the opportunity to walk across the stage in high school, was when you got your diploma, everybody had their future plans laid out. So when you went across the stage, they would say, you know, so-and-so, Jenny Bradley, is headed to the University of Waterloo, and she's going to become a doctor. And, you know, Ruth is going across. She's going to go to Georgian College, and she's going to be an automotive technician. Everybody had, am I close? Not at all. Not at all. No, she says. I don't know why I said automotive technician. It's good pay. Yes, it is. Absolutely. Everybody seemed to have their future mapped out. They were going somewhere. They were doing something. But me and Gino. Me and Gino weren't going anywhere. And we were so embarrassed. I'm telling you right now. I was watching everybody go across. And you had to fill out the card. Give it to the person who was going to announce, here's Steve Bradley. I had zero future. I'm like, I was working at Thornton Arena. And so my friend Gino was working at the Shell gas station, you know, where they actually still pumped your gas and wiped your windows. And so we said, we were really embarrassed. Like, what are we going to tell them? Well, we got to come up with a creative name. And so he said, well, I'm going to be a petroleum technician. I said, that is awesome. So I'm working at the arena, so I will be the Zamboni technician. And that's how we went across the stage. But you know what? This is what I wish. I wish I was brave enough and confident enough to know I was right where God wanted me to be. God had me right where He wanted me. He had Gino right where He wanted him. And you know, it's really funny how life works out, because Gino today, my best friend, he's a senior pastor in Stony Creek, and he just finished off his doctorate in theology. And you never know what the future holds. And so what I want to talk to you about today is being rooted in who God says you are, so students, and not who the world says you are. Because the world wants to distort who you should be. So when I wish I had the confidence to be able to walk across that stage, accept my diploma, and say, yeah, I'm a Zamboni technician, and I am right where God wants me to be, because He has something more for me. But I was so wrapped up in my status of who I wasn't that I actually had to make something creative up. And so I asked some students, I asked some teens, what are some of the things that you get your identity in today? And so here are some of their responses. So what defines your identity? This is from high school students. And they said, our friends identify us, our relationships, who we're with, are we in with the in crowd? Do we have the cool friends? What kind of friends do we have? And number two, this is a big one, our weight. And our looks, do we look like everyone? Are we pretty? Are we not pretty? How do we view ourselves? Next one is a big one. Parents, you know how, parents, do you track with your kids in social media? Do you know what social media platforms they're on and what they're doing? Because students today, if they're not getting the clicks, they're not getting the likes, that affects their self-esteem. People aren't liking my pic. Why aren't they liking my picture? And then you scroll through and you see that your friends are liking other people's stuff. And then that affects your self-esteem. How come my friend is liking their thing but not my thing? What's wrong with me? And it's this big cycle. And that, yeah, it is huge. It's massive. And some of the other answers I got were, drugs are you using? And then some people find their identity in sports. Where are they going in the future? So I wanted to ask some of the students. I don't know if the students in the back row, if you guys came up with anything. is there anything that you guys, first of all, what grades are you guys in, if you don't mind me asking? Nine. You don't look like you're graduating. You're young. Dude, you look like you're still in high school. That's a good thing. Believe me, that is, you will enjoy that. Because you'll always look young, and that will be good. So what are you working? Are you Millward? Fantastic. He's one of your junior youth? He's running your junior youth? Wow. So, all right, let's move on. What defines you? When you look at this list, sorry, some of the ladies down here. What's your age? And I'm not going to assume anything about, you know, like if you're in high school or not. 20? What would you add anything to this list?
You got a pretty good swath.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everything can fall into those categories. Money.
Money, 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 money. Clothes? Yeah. Did you say job? Job, clothes, money. Did you know, I heard somebody say, I had no idea that this was a thing, that people go, if they got a big event, they will go into a store, they will buy fancy clothes, wear them to the event, and take them back. I did not know that was a thing, because people are feel they're so stressed out about looking the part. I'm like, really? Wow. Status. So these are some of the things that students are facing. And you know what? Here's something interesting. Maybe you're still carrying some of this stuff. So we're talking to the students today, but maybe today as adults and grandparents, you are still carrying some of this with you today. Maybe some of this is a residue that, you know, there is. I wonder how much I should tell you. Okay. Don't regret it later. It's not a bad story. It's just, I really struggled with when I left being a pastor. So I'm on the morning show at Life 100.3. I really struggled with not having the title pastor anymore and finding my identity. It took me a long time to, when people just called me Steve, I'm like, oh, I'm Pastor Steve. I did that, right? And I'm trying to be honest. I'm just like, I've really struggled with finding my identity. And I hope my wife is okay with me right now sharing a story about her. But my wife was, she was the fundraising coordinator at Greeting Children in Barrie. How many years?
A lot
of years. She won't let me tell you. She just turned 40. Congratulations. You look great. But when that season of her life ended, she really struggled not being an event coordinator because that's where she found her identity. And it was actually because I watched her walk through that season of her life after not being an event coordinator. That helped me through not being a pastor anymore. And it was interesting, though, how all of this isn't just for youth. This is something that we walk through as well. And what I want to really try and build up this morning is, it doesn't matter. The world is always going to spit us out. It doesn't matter what we look like, what we do, what we've achieved. It will never be enough for the world. And I want to, how many of you guys are familiar with UFC? Ronda Rousey. You guys are familiar with UFC, Ronda Rousey? Some of you? Okay. I hope all the guys. All right. The students are there. They're right there. I'm going to show you a clip in just a second of Ronda Rousey and what happened to her after she lost one match. What was going through her mind. What she was walking through. So let's take a look at that clip and then I'm going to follow up. Okay, I need to fill in about Ronda Rousey if you don't know her. She dominated a male sport. She was so successful in what she was doing. Like, this is a man's sport. I know women also enjoy it, so please just let me try and build this up just for a second. She was undefeated. At this point, she was defeating people in seconds. People were paying to see her fight. And she lost one match. One match. And this is where it left her. Women, do you hear what I'm saying? Women, listen to me. She dominated the male world. She owned it. She achieved things that I am telling you. Most people could only dream of, most men could only dream of what she achieved. And she did it in a male-dominated world. She was one of the most successful fighters. She built UFC up to what it is today. And she loses one match. And that is how she, that is where it left her. Let me tell you again, the world will just spit you out. It doesn't matter what you do, what you achieve. It will never be enough. Now, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. I'm not a Swiftie. Okay? I'm not a Swiftie at all. I don't even know if that's a term. Is it a term? If you watch, Taylor Swift has a documentary on Netflix right now, and she talks about how if she's too skinny or if she's too fat, her body type isn't that, her body type isn't this. Here is a woman, again, another woman who is successfully, is a bazillionaire. Like, we would all dream to have, if you were looking for success and status, that is what you would want to be. Because she's got the money, she's got the fame, she's got all the accolades, she's got the awards, and still, it's not enough. It's not enough being who she is. And so this morning, again, what we want to talk about is how do we become rooted in not who the world says we are, but who God says we are. And so we're going to open up your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, the only example, the only way I can try and bring this across is go to 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18, and it's verses 1 to 7. And I want to give you a character in the Bible. Let's look at this first slide here. So this is for the students. I want to set this up. I want to talk to you about David and Jonathan. So if you're here for the first time, you're just walking into church. David is the anointed king at this part of the story. He's going to become king. God has said that. But Saul, he's a bad guy. He is the king right now. And Jonathan is the prince. Jonathan is Saul's son. And David and Jonathan are BFFs. They're best friends. And I want to read you this story from 1 Samuel 18, 1 to 7. And it says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan, now this is where the key passage is. Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. This story does not get enough attention from people. I don't know about you, but can you picture right now? So essentially what Jonathan is doing, he's the prince. He is now giving his rights to the crown, to the throne, to David. And he's becoming a servant to David. Now, how many of you could picture Prince Charles? You hear where I'm going? You know where I'm going with this? How many of you could see Prince Charles stepping aside for his son, William? How many of you guys could see him stepping? Okay, not even for his son, William. How many of you could step aside, or Charles even stepping aside for a friend and saying, I'm going to give you. You know what came along with being prince? A whole lot of power. What came along with being king? Power, money. How many of you in this room, would you be so comfortable and so rooted in who God said you were and the calling that he has on your life, would be able to say, I know this is where it looks like I'm going, but I know God's actually calling me here, and I'm going to give you all the fame, I'm going to give you all the power. I'm going to give you all the glory. And I'm going to serve you. Wow. That is a powerful, powerful passage. I had a student in Ajax who, because he didn't have 1 million subscribers on his YouTube channel by 19, he felt like a failure. And it was eating him alive because he thought his future was... That's a youth emphasis service. Put that out there. I would do that anyways. He couldn't grasp that he was right where God wanted him to be. You know, I think part of the problem, I don't know if I should go down this road or not. I scrapped this from my sermon a couple times. And I thought, ah, am I going to do it? I see this in so many sermons. Pastors saying, please forgive me, Lord. Pastor saying we need to take our faith to the next level. We need to take our salvation to the next level. We need to take things higher. We need to up. I don't know about you, but there's nothing in the Bible that says to take your faith to the next level. There's nothing in the Bible that says we need to go higher towards God. And I think sometimes the pictures that we even develop in the church and the analogies we develop in church, we make it so that people walk in the church sometimes and they feel they can't achieve what other people are achieving because we put them up on a pedestal. You know what the Bible does tell us, though? It doesn't tell us to go higher. Doesn't tell us to go to the next level, but it does tell us to go deeper. And that is a much, much different picture. To be rooted, to go deeper. Can everybody just stand up for a minute? Stretch your legs. Now, when you take a look around the room, we are all on the same level. It doesn't matter if you're a woman. It doesn't matter if you're a man. It doesn't matter if you're black. It doesn't matter if you're white. It doesn't matter if you're brown. It does not matter in God's kingdom. It does not matter in God's kingdom. This is the way I believe God's kingdom was meant to be set up. Not putting others up on a pedestal. Not putting people up in the up. You know, the only thing that you could tell, the only way we would know in this room if somebody was going through something or where they were spiritually is if a storm came. But when we look at each other and we look in this room, we're all on equal playing field in God's eyes. And we need to start getting deeper with Jesus, not higher. We need to start getting on our hands and knees. You know, everything about the Bible is actually going down. It's about humbling ourselves. You guys can be seated. I'm going to get the worship leaders to come back up. I wonder if, do you guys remember this story? I don't have the scripture. I don't have the passage, so... You can double check this for me. You guys remember the story in the Bible when Satan tempted Jesus? So Satan, the story goes that Satan took Jesus up the mountain and he shows him everything. And he says, Satan says to Jesus, "This can all be yours." Can you imagine just for a moment, because Jesus was fully human. Jesus fully had he had the capability to choose what he wanted to do. And here's Satan proposing to him, "You can have it all. This is all yours." And for a moment, can you imagine if Jesus didn't know what his calling and his purpose was? How did he fight Satan back? That's right. Jesus started quoting scripture back to Satan. Said, no. Hang on a second. It is written. It says. And so this morning, I'm going to ask all the students. So if you're in grade 6 to young adult, maybe all the way up, let's say 9-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, I'm going to ask all of you guys to come up here for a minute. Come on up to the front. You guys, spread out along the front. Just keep spreading. You guys can move right down. It is my hope and my desire, and I know the hope and desire of your parents, that you guys would come to understand that God has a plan and a purpose for each of you, that you don't need to look to your friend and say, "I wish I had what you had. I wish I looked like you look. I wish. Do you know what Jesus said? There's a scripture about how we all have a part in the body to play. And Jesus says, we need you to be part of the body of Christ. He said, you're going to be a nose. Some of you are going to be an ear. Some of you are going to be the head. And you're going to lead and you're going to guide. And he says, we need every one of you to fill your part or the body of Christ won't actually work. And so what I'm hoping and praying for today is that you will understand and that you will start seeking the plan that God has for you and not the plan that God has for your friend. Not the plan that God has for your neighbor. Not the plan that God has for your classmates. That God, you would start seeking God and you would be so rooted in your identity that no matter when Satan comes along and he whispers, he's like, "Oh, I've got something for you. I've got something for you." They'd be like, no. I'm right where God wants me. Thank you, Satan. You know what the Bible says? Move on. Because this is what Satan wants to do right now. He wants to distract you. If we go back to that list of all the things that we find our identity in, this is what Satan wants to distract us from. Satan wants to say, you're not good enough if you don't have the right friends. You're not good enough if you don't have the right relationships. You're not good enough if you're a certain weight or you don't look a certain way. You're not good enough if you don't have so many followers on social media. Hey, you laugh, but it's true. Who does God say you are? Be rooted in that. Do not allow Satan to have a foothold in your life. And I'm going to ask all the students and young adults to be brave for me, okay, students and young adults? I want you to just spread out along the banner here and face the crowd. Okay? So just spread out. And this is what I'm going to ask. Parents, grandparents, friends, leaders. I want every student in this room pray for them, that they would come to know and realize their identity is in Christ. And they don't have to look to anybody else anymore, but they have to look to Christ and who God says I am. So that when the distractions come, that they will be able to push it aside with Scripture, that they will be able to do what Jesus did and say, no. Not today, Satan. Not today. So, would you come, and when you take time and pray over your young adults, your students, and your junior high, would you come? Come on up. If you've called to pray, please come. Let's get every student in this room prayed for. Let's make sure every student, young adult, every junior high in this room is feeling loved and supported. Come on up. Let's lay our hands on these students. Let's pray over them. Let's love on them. I'm telling you right now, adults, this is a tough, tough generation to grow up in. There is so much pressure on them. Thank you for coming and praying. A few more students. You can go to the back if you need to and just lay a hand.